Hi, Spring fans. Welcome to a beautiful podcast. I'm your host, Spring Developer Advocate Josh Long, and this show is all about the real heroes behind Spring and its ecosystem.
Hi, Spring fans. Welcome to another installment of a beautiful podcast. This week, I finished my jury duty and have been working on my book, Reactive Spring. I've been working on the pipeline that powers this very podcast as well. Soon, not right now, but soon, the podcast will be served up from a different vendor, a different host. Right now, I'm using SoundCloud.com as the place on which I publish the actual audio files, and those then get fed out to different marketplaces, so iTunes, Google Cloud, Spotify, etc. Not Google Cloud, Google Play, right? All these different marketplaces then make it so that you see the updated feed. So ideally, fingers crossed, it'll just be a simple matter of replacing that feed, and you should be none the wiser. But again, we'll see. Hopefully it's a non-event. Hopefully we won't ever have to talk about this again. But it is coming, and I'm excited. Moving to this new provider gives me the chance to automate a good deal more about the production pipeline. Right now I've got software that takes the bits that come from the actual interviews, the preamble, the introduction, and the interview. They get chucked into a cloud-based process that then does the audio muxing and all that kind of stuff to create the full finished thing that you then hear, and that's it. But soon it'll do so much more, including updating a website, including updating databases, including updating the hosting provider for the episode itself. So the whole pipeline, everything, once it leaves my little desktop-based application, everything after that will be automated. It'll just go straight to your podcatchers and should be good. The code, by the way, is online. The code for all of this is online. It's on github.com/ beautiful hyphen podcast. So BOOTIFUL hyphen podcast, PODCAST. So of course, if you have any ideas or want to send PRs or whatever, I would appreciate it. Most of the code is just good old Spring batch, Spring integration, and a good indulgent use of RabbitMQ. And there's some Python in there too. I use Python for the audio muxing and so on. I'm also super excited about this week's episode. This week, I bring you an interview recorded just before Spring One Platform 2019 with Bella Yushin Bai. According to her profile, Bella is a pair programming and test-driven development advocate who enjoys crafting tests with a sufficient amount of cat references in them. She's worked on dozens of different applications across industries like healthcare, insurance, financial services, and retail. With experience in both greenfield and brownfield projects, Bella is passionate about extreme programming, evolutionary architecture, and domain-driven design. As a recent addition to the Spring Cloud Services team, she's played an important part in shaping the design of Spring Cloud Services 3.0. I learned a ton from this discussion, and certainly I hope you do too.
Okay, I think we're live, which is
awesome.
Amazing. You are the latest in a string of people that have had the mispleasure or displeasure of having to try and figure out how to record audio with me, since my Zencastr settings have not been great of late. Now, I think I know you as Bella, right? Which is B-E-L-L-A. Yep. Is that the name you? How do you pronounce your last name, and how do you pronounce your first name? Is that the right way?
Yeah, my first name is actually Yuxing.
Okay.
My last name is Bai. But because X is super hard for most of the people in Western world to read, so I chose Bella because it's similar to Bai.
That's
the closest sound I can find to Bai, which is what people referring me to as a nickname when I was in China.
So it has alliteration, Bella Bai.
Yeah.
Right. So Yuxing. Yeah. So if somebody calls you Yuxing, is that still correct, or do you prefer Bella?
I think Bella is better because I'm not used to people calling me by my first name either.
Okay.
Even when I was in China. So.
Okay. All right. Perfect. So very, very great of you to join me today. I really appreciate it. I know you're busy and I appreciate you taking the time. Where are you exactly?
I'm based in Boston, Massachusetts.
Right. And you're, that's one of my favorite cities. So you're fairly new on the Spring team proper, right? You've only been on
Yeah.
the team for a year
officially
ago.
joined Spring Team since May, but I've been on rotation since last year, around November, I think.
Okay. Yeah, okay. So it's been about a year-ish that I've heard your name. Were you in labs before, or did you come from some other organization?
Yeah, I came from labs. I was in labs for 2.5 years before I joined the rotation.
Oh, that's so cool. Lucky us. It's nice that we can find good engineers, within the organization.
I'm really glad to join the team.
We're glad to have you. So you work on the Spring team. What project in particular?
I'm on the Spring Cloud Services team.
Ah, so the one that makes money. That's my favorite one.
Yeah.
I love that one.
To make open source profitable.
Right. I love that. That's good stuff. So Spring Cloud Services is, would you say it's a cloudification of some of our open source infrastructure or middleware, things like that?
I feel like it's commercialized and fully secured, highly available, and fully integrated to Pivotal platform.
That's a much better description than I
it's gave. The same, but that's just how we brand ourselves.
I prefer that. I'm going to write that down. So we have a number of components that people are familiar with, perhaps through their use of Spring Cloud. And a few years ago, I guess going on 4 years or so, Matt Stein and a number of others at the time created the they took these open source components like Netflix Eureka, mm-hmm. which we had then further refined for use in Spring Cloud. So you have Netflix Eureka.
Yeah.
And it became Spring Cloud Netflix Eureka, like you just said. And then from there, the question is, well, what about, how do I get that on Cloud Foundry or a Pivotal platform option like that? How do I get it secured? How do I do HA? How do I do, all these things that, taken individually would perhaps be problematic, but not impossible, but then taken together, all these little things that you have to do before this is like ready for prime time, ready for production. It's a lot, right? It's Netflix OSS is good stuff. And there's more to Spring Cloud Services than just Netflix OSS, of course, but all these components are good components. That doesn't mean they're ready for production yet, right?
Yeah. I like to think of it like furniture purchase. You can buy furniture from IKEA or any furniture store that you assemble it yourself, or you can just book it from some B2B furniture store that they ship it and they install it in place for you.
Oh, much better description. Yeah. That's a great point. Yeah, exactly. I don't want to, I think a lot of our customers have much more money than they have time. And so they'd much rather spend the money than spend the time.
Yeah. I like to do all my furniture assembly for myself, but if I don't want to do that for every single furniture we have in the office because it's too much work. Too much.
Exactly. Good point. My partner, Tammy, she thinks it's super fun to assemble stuff. Right. And I can kind of see it. Like every time I do it, I like it, but it just feels like, oh, I don't want to sit here. I could just pay somebody and they'll do it. And she's like, no, I want to do it. It's fun. It's relaxing for her. It's like actually a fun thing for her.
I find that fun too.
Yeah. I
had this thought when I was assembling my furniture and it's like, yeah, this is great, but I wouldn't do this all the time.
For me, I don't mind assembling it if I know it's going to go okay. But when I see the big box full of like 1,000 different screws and you're just worried that there's one missing and the whole thing is going to be a waste of time.
Oh yeah. Especially those pieces you have to put on the wall.
Right. Oh, the dread.
Put them correctly.
Yeah. See, I'm making myself anxious just thinking about it. So that's to avoid that anxiety, you just get something that's been productized like Spring Cloud Services. So what do we offer? What does Spring Cloud Services do today for your average user?
So Pivotal platform, if you just do CF create service, like basically one command line configuration, you get a fully secured, fully highly available service instance running somewhere for you. So you don't need to worry about where to store the credentials. You don't need to worry about how to configure it. You need to give it something to configure, like Git backend or some backend for your config server or your peers for Eureka server. But everything else would be taken care of that.
Oh, wow. Yeah, so that's great. That's the productization of it. But what components do we have? We have Netflix Eureka.
We have Netflix Eureka. We have Config Server.
The Spring Cloud Config Server, it's been productized now.
Yeah, we also have Spring Cloud Gateway, and that's in beta right now.
Right. And so what is that? That's actually
sorry.
That's a scoop, right? What's in Spring Cloud Gateway?
Spring Cloud Gateway is more like you have, it's like API Gateway, mm-hmm. like APG or I don't know what else are there.
Right, Kong and things like that.
Kong, yeah, those. So you can features. Have a single entry point for all your APIs in your organization. Mm-hmm. You have this one single URL and you give it a route. You can map a route to an actual backend in your domain. So externally, you only need to know one URL and you need to know some like path, and then you can find all the backing services in your organization and no one needs to know all the internal routes for it.
Right.
And the security of it can also be taken care of. Like your firewall configuration would only need to allow one URL instead of all these thousands of apps.
I see. Oh, that's so cool. So that's built on the Reactive Spring Cloud Gateway product or project, I suppose.
Yes.
And so now you're saying rather than use that like a library, you can actually have using the Pivotal platform, you can stand up an instance of Spring Cloud Gateway, which mm-hmm. knows about your services through the service registry. It knows about, can you configure custom, you know, target URLs?
Yes.
Cool.
Yes.
So how do you configure things for the product? Because I'm used to configuring in Java code when uh-huh. I use Spring Cloud Gateway, the API.
Yeah. So for our product, you pass in the parameters through your creation command. So you pass in like -c parameters and right. say, this is the URL I want to go. And I think we're also working on SSO configuration right now, like right. SSO integration. So like you said, this is the SSO plan we want to go for. It's still in alpha. It's really early stage. And there's no promise that all this will go live anytime soon. So
right. Of course, but that's super interesting.
Like, it's the bright future that we're all looking forward to.
Right, I can't wait. And that's and that also means I can change things, right? I can actually add things to the gateway perhaps while it's still running.
Yeah, it's all stored in your environment runtime as environment variable.
But what if I want to change something? Do I have to restart the gateway or
can you do update service? So yeah. You update all the configuration for the existing service instance, and that service instance will pick up the new configuration and configure container-to-container network behind the scene for you.
Okay, that's super cool. All right, so that's like, see, this is, I don't know much about that, but I know we have it being worked on. I just don't know, you know, much about what it is and how long it's taking and, you know, what features we have there. So that's super cool. So we got Gateway. We got mm-hmm. the Config Server. Mm-hmm. We've got Eureka, the service registry.
Mm-hmm.
And is there anything else?
We used to have Circuit Breaker as well.
The dashboard.
It was built on Hystrix.
Right.
In our previous version, because Netflix Eureka, no, Netflix has stopped maintenance for
Hystrix.
So we're not going to continue that offering anymore.
Okay.
But as far as I know, Spring Cloud is also making our own Circuit Breaker libraries.
Right.
So maybe at some point, this will come back.
Yeah, that'd be nice. And the Spring Cloud Circuit Breaker is not limited to Hystrix. We support Hystrix, but as that's been kind of deprecated, I think we're telling people to move to one of the other implementations like Resilience for J or
right
or something. So yeah, we have the abstraction Spring Cloud Circuit Breaker.
Yeah.
That talks to Hystrix, it talks to Resilience for J, it talks to Spring Retry and Alibaba Sentinel.
Yeah. And actually without the dashboard, we have recently published a blog post published by Alberto and Gareth on my team about how do you do Circuit Breaker dashboard without our tile on PCF on nice. Pivotal platform.
And what was the answer?
The answer is just use metrics collected by all your app.
Oh, that makes sense. Oh, so you just use like Prometheus or something.
Yeah.
Okay, that's super cool. Yeah.
And then just visualize it some with all your choice. Like you get all the visualization tool in the world you can choose from. You're not restricted to whatever we offer.
Yeah. I mean, you know, graphite or something else, right? They
Datadog is another thing. I think the blog post was trying with Datadog.
Right. Oh, okay. Yeah, that's great. And okay, so that's a very reasonable option. I think a lot of people are going to do that anyway, right? We have Micrometer. We have this really mm-hmm. great abstraction mm-hmm. for incorporating metrics into your application. So you know, that's cool. That's not a big deal. I think people are going to do that anyway. Okay, so what do you? Which parts do you work on, or what are you focusing on right now? Which you know.
I'm focusing on porting the Eureka support over from 2.0 to 3.0. Because when we released our 3.0 tile, we only brought over config server and made it really good, like so bright and shiny. And customers like, oh, but what about config? What about Eureka server? We still want to use that. So we are working on porting that over.
Yeah.
And that will be our shiny 3.1 tile, okay. including the Eureka server. And it's feature complete, and we're just waiting for the release.
Nice. Okay. So that's cool. So what are some of the, is it a reskinning of the user interface, or are there new features internally, or, you know?
There are, so most of the functionality are kept the same, but we did do some improvement. Like we upgraded all the security component for it. So we believe it's more secure and it's like easier to maintain.
Right.
Also we made it like, so in the past, if you configure a peer for one of the Eureka server, you have to wait until this server is up and then you can configure the peer for it. But now we implemented infinite retry.
What? Nice. That's awesome.
So you're just like, wait. It's not up yet. It's not up yet. Okay, it's up. Now finally. I have a peer.
Okay, that's so cool. Self-forming sort of peer networks. That's great.
Yep. We definitely need to work on more on the like user indicator point of view. Like if user don't see it, it's because we're still trying, but like we definitely need to do more work there.
Right.
But I feel the functionality works awesome.
Isn't that the case where it seems like one of the things that we can really do here is make it so that this stuff is operator friendly, right? Nobody wants to dig into stack traces to understand what's happening. But if you have a nice user interface that can make this process very sort of approachable, mm-hmm. You know, it works like software, not like betas, right? We want that
to be the case. We want user to know exactly what's going on behind the scene and not really worry about the configuration got lost or like something went wrong and I don't know why and I need to dig into the log and find support. We want them to feel like fully supported by Visual.
Right. Yeah, that's super important. And then also security, right? So it looks like the two things that we're talking about that are in this release or in general, right, with Spring Cloud Services are things that make these components, which we already know work better with operations, with the enterprise, with regular users and operators, right? Things mm-hmm. like that. So obviously operators they can easily dive into stack traces if they need to, but that's, you know, that's a unproductive way forward, I would think, right? For a lot of people. So especially for security, right? If you don't want to have to second guess all that. You just want to know that we've got people looking at it. These are the best people. They're being paid to look at it. What is our security story for Spring Cloud Services? Like when we do SSL, what does that mean?
Which component are you thinking about?
In general, like what?
In general?
Yeah.
Yeah. So like every time when you create a service instance, we automatically create OAuth to client for each service instance.
Okay.
And we will provide like, so let's take Eureka server as example. When we create a service instance of Eureka, the server has a client ID and secret, and that's going to be used to authenticate all the bound apps, which is the apps you want to register with this Eureka server.
Wow, okay.
And when you do the binding operation, all the clients are assigned with their client ID and secret too, representing this exact bound app, and it has the right authorities to use.
Okay, so you're saying, when I, as a client, let's say I have a microservice that's connected to, for example, Eureka,
mm-hmm.
I'm given a token in my credentials that I can use to talk to that, or like, how does my client connect to Eureka? What's different from the normal?
Yeah, you can provide it, but if you're on Pivotal platform, you can do CF bind service.
Right.
And bind the app with the service instance you just created. And then the credentials will be automatically created by the binding operation and injected into your application through binding credentials.
Right, but so is the thing that's injected in the bound credentials, is that just an access token, or what is that?
It will be client ID and secrets.
Oh, it's the actual, so I still need
it's the actual client created for your bound app, and then you don't need to do anything to it. Your bound app will automatically take that credentials, and if you have the right connectors that we provide, then the connectors know how to read in those credentials and send requests with the right token, like request for token, and send all the requests with the token.
So that'll give me, it'll do the OAuth dance,
yeah,
so to speak, for me. I don't have to worry about that. And so that's why if you go to the Spring Initializer, we have these, some of these checkboxes say PCF, circuit breaker, right? PCF,
yep.
Eureka, as opposed to just
and
regular.
PCF connectors or something like that.
Yeah, exactly. Okay, so that's really cool. So that's a lot of like sophistication. And that's a question we get a lot, which is, you know, how do I do security for this kind of stuff? And to be honest, I don't know. So I'm glad you figured it out, you know?
Yeah. And another point, like another improvement is all the secrets are saved in CredHub. So even if you can see the environment variables for your application through the CF command line, CF CLI, you won't see anything, because what we pass into, like for binding credentials, what we pass into the bound app is only the CredHub reference. And the bound app is assigned access through MTLS to access the credentials.
From CredHub,
yeah.
Okay, so we've got extra security here. It's not even, so the thing that's in the environment variables isn't actually even the real thing. It's just the thing that points to the thing, right?
Yes.
And that needs there's another aspect to that makes it secure. Okay, that's interesting. So that's cool. That's like, and that's really hard. I know we spend a lot of time working on all this stuff. So to be able to see that all works smoothly is such a nice feature. Does it cost us anything in terms of performance to do that? How often do we do the authentication?
Authentication, I believe, is happening every single call.
Oh,
so
wow.
All the calls are properly authenticated and authorized. Yeah, and performance-wise, I don't see anything different, but it definitely took us a lot of effort to make everything secure.
Wow.
That's why we want to save everyone's time so that they don't need to do it.
Nice. Yeah, that's amazing. And it's just OAuth. That sounds like you're doing OAuth and OIDC. Do we have any other kinds of secure integrations?
For Spring Cloud, I feel most of the time it's just OAuth. But for Spring Cloud gateways, we do have some container-to-container communication. You don't even go through like any of the public domain. Like public URL is not exposed.
Okay.
Like all the services are not exposed on public internet. You can only get to those services through our gateway.
Okay, that's really great. So there's no ingress for these services. The gateway acts as sort of the router, and it of course understands how to authenticate that one has access to the other.
Right. It will authenticate at the gateway time, because if you provide an SSL plan or like some restrictions, like you want this user to have this scope or something to access the service, it will happen at the gateway time to stop the request. And once you pass there, you can talk to the backing service through container and container network.
Oh, that's so cool. Okay, that's really cool. That's like, this is all stuff I haven't gotten a chance to play with. Now, do we know if that's going to be available for, well, I know that's going to be available for Cloud Foundry, right? That makes sense. But do we know if it's going to be available for PKS?
That's a good question. I also don't know how much we can talk about in a public podcast for that.
Oh. Okay, yeah, I don't know.
Maybe you can cut this out.
Sure. I have no idea. Let me see, 1 second. Recorded. 1 sec. When do we start?
Oh, yeah, we don't have a timestamp here.
Yeah. I'll just say 20 minutes before we stopped. Okay. Okay, good stuff. Now,
cool. Well, I guess I have another answer for that.
Yes.
It will be announced as Spring One Platform.
Okay, that's fair. Yeah, okay. That's a very good answer. There's a lot of big stuff coming at Spring One Platform. You're going to be there, right?
Yeah. Okay. I also have a talk with my – I have a I will presenting what's new in Spring Cloud Services 3 with my co-presenter, Gareth.
Okay.
Cool. There will be a lot of good stuff there.
That sounds good. I'll be sure to drop by. One second. I'll be sure to drop by and say hi.
Yeah.
Also be sure to stop by and say hi. Now, are you, wow. So I haven't met you before, I don't think, or maybe I have, I don't know.
Met at Spring One Tour Burlington near Boston.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. We had a very brief encounter.
I am so
sorry. Right before your talk.
Oh, well, okay. It'll be good to meet you again then for the second time.
Yeah, and this time we'll take another selfie.
Yes. Oh, there we go. Good. So this is how I connect human beings that I know I want to remember to thoughts, but it takes me a long time. Slow learner, not a very good brain on this one.
Wait. Remembering people is hard.
It for me, anyway. Like, I know some people have a gift, but I don't have that gift. I don't have
me neither.
Okay, but now that I know you're working on Spring Cloud Services, it'll make it easier, I hope. So when you work on your day-to-day stuff, what do you focus on? What's the work you're doing right now, for example, roughly?
You mean like the workflow that we normally take?
Well, the code. I mean, what
the code?
What API is in front of your IDE right now?
Spring Cloud, I guess. Well, I don't know. I don't know how to answer this one.
Yeah.
Because it's more like we work closely with the Spring Cloud open source team.
Mm-hmm.
And then we wrap that
yep.
into a service broker,
right.
which handles all the creation and update or delete binding for the service mm-hmm. instances.
Right.
So it's most likely like the service open service broker API is one of the API that we really work a lot with.
Right. And that's
I'm sorry?
Can you tell people what the service broker
API open is? Service broker API?
Yeah.
It's the definition of how a service broker should operate. So like Cloud Foundry or platforms like Cloud Foundry knows how to tell your service broker to create a new one or update a new one because you can use the platform CLI or platform's API to tell the platform to create a service for you.
Mm-hmm.
But a platform needs to know how to tell the service broker. So your service broker have to implement a certain interface so that it will allow traffic from the platform.
Right.
And so, will give the platform the expected response.
So that interface is not a Java interface, and it's an HTTP API. Is that right?
Yes.
So you have a thing, you have an API, you have an HTTP API. All service brokers have the same API.
Mm-hmm.
And there are certain endpoints that if you implement them, you're expected to do certain things like provisioning a new whatever. It could be a config server. It could be a database, a message queue, whatever, right?
Yeah, that's a better way to put it, yeah.
And that endpoint is supposed to produce responses that, you know, that match a certain structure. And in this way, you can have as many different service brokers as you want. And so open service broker, that is a Kubernetes and Cloud Foundry thing, right? That works on both these platforms at the very least.
For Kubernetes, I think it's still in the early stage.
Okay.
But Cloud Foundry works pretty well. Or maybe I just didn't know. Maybe it's already implemented for Kubernetes.
I need to check. I know that
that
Scott Frederick, another one of our amazing engineers, he worked on the Spring Cloud's open service broker, implementation that he tested at one point on Kubernetes. I guess there's preliminary support for that. Maybe it's not done yet. That's a fair point. I have no idea.
Maybe it's working out of the box, but I feel like some of the specs, like for binding, wouldn't work as well.
Right.
Because Kubernetes don't even use bind. Like, you just inject all the secrets into the pod instead of injecting through binding credentials like what we have on the pivotal platforms.
Right. That's a good point. I don't know. And that would be an interesting discussion.
Yeah. Now I want to find out. there are so many new things happening every day.
Exactly. And I did a book, Cloud Native Java, that had a whole chapter on building service brokers. At the time, it was only Cloud Foundry, right?
Mm.
And then I think a couple of years ago, it got turned into the open service broker thing so that it worked on Kubernetes as well. But I haven't followed up. I have no idea what the subsequent state is. I remember people from Kubernetes, the Kubernetes community, you know, tweeting about that and so on. So it must surely be something of a thing if it's out there. I just don't know the extent of it.
I need to check it out.
So, okay. So you're working on the Spring Cloud APIs. So do you just kind of just like in the Spring team, a lot of us are focused on one thing, right? So while all of us have a good sense of what is happening around us and we have a good sense of the different technologies that are in play, it's fair to say that if you're working on Spring Security, your day-to-day is working on security, right?
Mm-hmm.
And if you're working on Spring Data, your day-to-day is data and integration and so on, right? Some projects are more cross-cutting. So Spring Cloud is more cross-cutting than others. And Spring Boot, of course, certainly. And I suppose you must be in that sort of situation where you have to become very good at a number of different things, right? Because you sit in a technology stack sense, you sit on top of Spring Cloud, which sits on top of Spring Boot, right?
Yeah, and also because we're securing everything, so we also have to get to know a lot of security stuff, work very closely to the Spring security team.
Oh,
and also it's deploying to the platform, so we have to be closer to the platform as well.
Wow.
It's a lot of stuff.
But we
don't need to be good at everything.
Well,
I mean, we just need to know who to ask.
Right. And hopefully they're good at it at some point, right?
Yeah.
Wow. So this is the kind of stuff where if you don't have, Rhea or Rob Winch or somebody from the platform team on your speed dial, then you're probably not going to get as far as Spring Cloud Services gets you, right, by yourself.
Yeah, if you're just waiting for GitHub issue getting resolved, that may take you some time.
Oh.
Well, we're pretty responsive on GitHub.
Yeah, we are.
So
very responsive.
Maybe
Absolutely.
It's not that bad. But like there are still some insider knowledge. I feel it's hard to, like tribal knowledge that is hard to communicate through a GitHub issue or documentation.
Right. Yeah. There's no institutional. Yeah. It's so true. Okay. So that's cool. Wow. I didn't think about that. It makes me not want to work on that team that you work on because it sounds like it'd be very, very difficult. I don't know.
It's fun. It's
I'm
so
sure
much
it's fun.
Fun.
I'm sure
I've been
fun.
Here for a year. I'm still learning tons of new things every day.
Oh, I would feel nervous about not being smart enough. I don't think I would be able to survive. There's just.
I accept that a long time ago.
You've got a pretty good group of people that you work with, right?
Yeah, people I work with are awesome.
I don't think most people, to be honest, and this is. I take some responsibility for this. I don't think a lot of people out there appreciate how cool Spring Cloud Services is, the product called Spring Cloud Services, because, you know, a lot of people don't, if you look at the large Spring population, you know, obviously it's a huge number, and then the people that pay for any product are smaller by definition, right?
Right. And at this point, Spring Cloud Services has become part of the platform in customers' mind. So, they just take it as granted.
Right. It's just there.
Which is good. That means like our brand really is there.
Right. Which is good. And the platform is very ubiquitous.
Yep.
So that's cool. But so you've got, who are some of people may know Roy Clarkson. He works with you, right?
Yep.
He created a Spring for Android, Spring Mobile, worked on the web stuff, you know, lots of cool stuff there. Craig Walls. He wrote the Spring in Action book, I think.
Yep.
Anybody who started working in Spring, you know, when I started working, has probably read that book, you know. And so, yeah, you're working with some of the best in the business. And I'm sure they feel the same about you. You've got good people. What's the like most common complaint or issue that you and the team get? Like, I imagine you must get some very scary issues or support tickets or whatever because of how many things have to go correctly for your product to work. Is there a thing that you see people asking about all the time that you wish they understood more or better?
I don't know. I feel our support tickets are very, like, we get some support tickets, but most of the time it's about our dependencies, not our tile. So a lot of time our services are going down, and it's because the Rabbit tile is down for our older version of tiles, which is why we take Rabbit out entirely for 3.0. And also sometimes the UAA service is not like restored correctly after a backup, like after outage. And then our service went down because that's what users see.
Wow. Okay. So that's very interesting. So why is RabbitMQ gone?
So we used to use that to send messages to in between our services and service instances. And the Rabbit tile, like, we don't want to just operators installing our tile. They have to install like three other different tiles so that they can run our tile. That's why we take out the dependencies. Also, it's like one last thing to manage, one last thing to potentially go wrong.
Right, of course. So you're no longer using RabbitMQ as a fabric between services anymore?
Exactly, in 3.0.
What do you use now?
Magic.
Okay.
No, we just don't do that anymore. I joined the team since we started working on 3.0, so I only know all the mess that Rabbit is causing us, but I don't really know what it does exactly in 2.0. Yeah. I know like vaguely what it does, but like sending messages, right?
Yeah, exactly. How do you route, like, are you just making network calls to each other, like with HTTP or REST, or is it RSocket, or, you know, I don't know. I have no idea. Whatever communication was there before, I wonder how that's done now. But
yeah, but I don't actually see a lot of communication going on. I think maybe we're just relying on cloud controller more instead of like maintaining our own queue. We just ask cloud controller, hey, is there anything happening right now? Maybe not. I may be totally like guessing here, so don't take my word for it.
No, that's cool. I didn't even know about that. That's great. That's actually one that I like RabbitMQ, but one less dependency is a very good thing, obviously. Cool. So when you're working on this stuff, do you have, how long does it take to deliver a feature? Because I feel like Spring Cloud, you know, is such a big project. It takes us a good, 6 months before any major kind of thing happens. Same thing for Spring Boot. And then I imagine that, Spring Cloud Services is kind of at the end of all of that, right? You have to wait for the next Spring and Spring Boot and Spring Cloud and so on. So how long is your cycle, release cycle, the schedule,
Good question. So for the 3.0 tile, we've been working on it for quite a long time now. That's because we did a completely re-architecture, and like we split out some of the code to like push an application to the platform. And I haven't talked about that yet. Mm. It's App Broker. Sorry, I got distracted. We can talk about that later. But speaking of lifecycle,
yeah,
the 3.0 tile is taking fairly long. And then during our like internal retros, we always think we should have released a long time ago. Because we just want to get faster feedback from user. And then we made it possible that 2.0 tile can run side by side as 3.0 tile.
Okay.
So we've been always thinking about like we should release more often, release fast, release early, so user can give us feedback and see if we're on the right track. And we are definitely doing that right now. That's why we released the config server without service registry. We're taking features back from user to release some more advanced feature to the user.
Nice. But in the meantime, they can still run the old one.
Yeah, they can use the old one for anything that is not in the new tile yet. And in 3.1, that's where we plug back our service registry for them.
Okay, that's cool. So what is App Broker then?
App Broker is a library implements the Spring Cloud Open Service Broker, but also pushing apps to Cloud Foundry.
It implements.
So it's like if your service broker includes pushing an app to Cloud Foundry, then using App Broker, you just need to write some like YAML.
Okay.
A senior YAML engineer, and then you can just push things to the cloud.
Senior YAML engineer. So you're saying like something like Eureka, which is a Java jar.
Mm-hmm.
You need App Broker to CF push that.
Yep.
And so App Broker actually gives you a service broker that knows how to push. You know, you give it some config and I guess a jar or something that it has to deploy.
Yep. It knows how to push it. It knows how to set environments or properties for the app you're going to run. It knows how to set the service definition for every single service broker. Service offerings. Sorry.
Okay.
Service offerings we're going to deploy. Yeah. So that's what the 2.0 we're pushing the apps. And this part, pushing app part, is a commonality between config server or service registry or circuit breaker. That's right. Why we break it out into App Broker. So in 3.0, we just use App Broker to push all the jars and just configure them correctly.
That's so cool. And so does App Broker actually give you a service broker? Like is it a framework, or I don't understand. Is it like a command line tool that you give it a jar and some config and it generates a project that you can then use?
It's a library that you put in your dependencies.
Okay.
Similar to Open Service Broker. And like it has some default behaviors, but you can also override those behaviors like any of the other Spring libraries you depend on.
That's so cool. Yeah. That is so cool. I didn't know about App Broker. That's super interesting. So that makes, I imagine that must make the work of, is that open source?
Yeah, it's open source.
Oh, I got to try it out. I could throw away half the stuff in my book, like in that chapter.
Roy also wrote a blog post about it.
Well, look at that. Okay, App Broker. I'm so excited. I'm learning new stuff here. Good. I'm taking notes so I can make sure to. Normally, when we record these kinds of interviews, I sit after the interview and I sit there and I my head spins for a little bit because there's so much I learn, and then I go Google what I just learned. But right now, as you know, I have to run to the airport pretty quickly here. So I'm going to take a note. Oh, look at that. I just found the blog. That's May of this year. That's okay. That's great. That's super cool. So, okay. So what is the feature you're most excited about in the next release?
In the next release?
Yeah.
All of them are super exciting.
But I'm trying to get you to spill the beans on what's going to happen with what's our Spring 1 release. But if you don't want to tell me, that's fine. I guess we can just encourage people
to go to the talk.
Yeah, go to the talk, go to the conference, go to the show. It'll be fun. Okay, very cool. I have I am super excited by all that we've talked about here today. I didn't know that we had all that sophisticated support for Spring Cloud Gateway already. So that's been really great to know. Obviously, the App Broker stuff that seems also very interesting to learn about. So thank you for both of those things. And you, oh my goodness, I'm so grateful for your time. Like I said, half jokingly when we first started talking, you know, I know that you're working on the stuff that we can charge for. So I feel very bad taking you from without you, there's no reason to have me, you know, so I'm very glad you're here.
No, I'm glad to be invited too. Like, I'm really honored to be here talking about our product. Thanks for inviting.
Are you kidding? My pleasure. Thank you. I can't wait to see you in Austin. Do you eat meat, barbecue, that kind of thing?
Yes, I eat meat. Okay. I love meat.
Oh, we'll have to arrange a barbecue trip. There's some good food in Austin.
Yes.
Thank you.
It'll be a party.
Yeah. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
A Bootiful Podcast is produced by me, Josh Long. I do these podcasts because I believe that everything we do in software is for and made better by people. I want to hear from you. I'm Josh at joshlong.com by email or at starbuxman on Twitter, where, of course, my direct messages are wide open. Do you have guest ideas, topic suggestions, feedback? Don't hesitate to reach out. If you like the show, then please consider rating it on iTunes and leaving a review, as it really helps the show. I sampled music from Steve Combs' Them from Morning and Springtime and Steve Combs' Small Victory, both of which are licensed under a Creative Commons license. I'm trying to hire production assistants to make the production of this podcast easier. I want to make sure that we can add things like show notes and transcripts and just generally do more. If you would like to advertise on the show, then please reach out to me. And if you can't or don't want to advertise but would like to otherwise support the show, then please consider supporting me at patreon.com, patreon.com/Josh Long for as low as $4 a month. Thanks again. No harm came to any seasons in the making of this podcast.